Amen.
Bless his name. I'm not ashamed. It's so good to have our young people with us tonight. And I'm sure if you'll listen, the Lord will bless you. And no doubt one of our favorite preachers here at Fletcher First Baptist Church is Brother Leonard Fletcher. And is that the song that you wrote on the dog food aisle? Is that right? Yeah. Maybe he'll tell us the story behind that song. But we're so honored and blessed to have Brother Leonard Fletcher, pastor at Dyson Grove Baptist Church in Butler, Tennessee. Come preach to us, my brother.
Lord, that was a blessing I was not expecting tonight, to hear those young ladies sing my song. I wrote that song 30 years ago, and one of the first songs I ever wrote. And I was working in the supermarket the day that I wrote it. I was at work that day, discouraged, and wrote it on a piece of cardboard. And I went home, told my wife, I said, I think I've written a song. Let's see if we can put some music to it. And we did, and I guess the rest is history. The Inspirations recorded back in 2006, and it was nominated for Song of the Year in Southern Gospel Music that year. And it's, but I tell you what, be hard pressed to beat the rendition we heard tonight from these young ladies. That if there's one thing that blesses me is to see young people singing my songs, and I appreciate that tonight. And it's been a joy for me to be here. I realize I have a diverse crowd tonight, some maybe with a shorter attention span, and then we have the kids as well here tonight. So anyway, we will, man, I was hoping y'all would get that, but anyway, so I'll try to be brief tonight and give you something that'll maybe speak to our hearts. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Ephesians tonight, and I'll try to be quick tonight. Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2, and I want to read just a few verses, and I'm going to give you the thought tonight from the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 2, and I want to start reading in verse number 1. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me tonight for just a few moments in this place, that I might be a blessing tonight to this people. Lord, I pray, would you speak to every heart that's here tonight? Lord, if there would be one among us tonight that is not saved, I pray you'd speak to their heart tonight. And Lord, for those of us that are saved, Lord, may we rejoice in what you have done for us in your great gift that you have given us of salvation. And Father, we'll thank you now for all you've done. Thank you for what you're going to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we ask it. Amen and amen. The Apostle Paul, writing here in Ephesians, he begins to talk in verse number 1 and said, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. And then Paul comes down, he begins to talking about the time past of our life. Everybody here that's saved by the grace of God, you remember a time when you weren't saved. You remember a time when you were just a sinner doing what sinners do. Sometimes we look around the world, we see people and their actions are pretty repulsive, but the fact of the matter is they're simply doing what lost people do. The same way we were before we came to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, We walked according to the course of this world, according to the lust of the flesh and even the lust of our mind. We were just living according to what we felt like we wanted to do in life. But there was a day when the Spirit of God came and the Word of God came and opened our eyes and our understanding to the fact that we needed to be saved by the grace of Almighty God. I began to think about that one day. Paul comes down and he tells us how simply it is that we're saved. He said, we are saved by grace through faith, and it's not of ourselves, lest any man should boast. He said, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so today, every one of us that are here tonight, saved by the grace of God, it is simply because of the free gift that Jesus has given us who've received it tonight. I was thinking about this one day. I got a text message from a preacher friend of mine. He's an unusual fella, and he'll get a thought on his mind, and he'll send me a text. And one day I got the strangest text from him and had no explanation behind it, but when my phone went off, and when I looked at it, this is what the text message said. It said this, said, a man who only has religion is like a letter marked for heaven, but it don't have a postage stamp to get it there. That's what his text said. I didn't know what had prompted him to send me that, but he later told me, he said, I was headed to the post office with some letters that he said to mail them, and he said, I got to looking at those letters, and every one of them said they were going somewhere, but not a one of them had on it what it needed to get it there. I said, that's the way a lot of people are today. You walk around the streets and you talk to neighbors and friends, and many times you'll ask them, are you going to heaven when you die? Do you think you'll go to heaven when you die? And every one of them say, yeah, I believe I'm going. I believe I'll make it. But yet there are many today that don't have applied to their life what it takes to go to heaven. I begin to think about that, and I'm preaching on that subject tonight. Do you have what it takes to go to heaven? I thought about that idea of that letter, and it got to spur in my mind. I brought a letter with me tonight. Everybody's here. If you've ever mailed a letter, you know what the process is in mailing a letter. Every letter has to have certain things in order for it to go where it's going or whatever. And I brought a letter here today. Most letters have a point of departure that you put up here in the corner where the letter is leaving from. And on this letter here, I put the address of the church that I pastor, Dyson Grove Baptist Church, 8483 Roan Creek Road, Butler, Tennessee, 37640. And every letter, it has to have a destination that it's going to. And on this letter, I put this address, your name, 316 John Street, Glory Avenue, Heaven, 77777. And so I put the address of heaven on this letter. And when you look at this letter, if you just look at it on the surface, it says it's going to heaven. But the fact of the matter is, if you look at this letter, and you can see it tonight, there's not a stamp on this letter, and there's nothing that would get it there if we could deliver it there. I begin to think about that. I'm glad that, listen, there is going to be a point of departure for all of us. The Bible tells us it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. So all of us at some point will leave this world. Everybody here at some point will go to the other world. And everybody seems like when they check out, they want to identify with something. They want to identify with religion. They want to identify with some kind of group. Matter of fact, many of you, if it came time for you to die, they'd put it in your obituary column. They were a member of Fletcher First Baptist Church. Or maybe you were not a member of the church, but you attended the church, and they'll put it in the obituary column that you attended the Fletcher First Baptist Church. And then there's always a lot of those people who wasn't interested in going to church and didn't care much about being faithful to anything, but when they die, they always put it in the obituary. They were of the Baptist faith. And I can't ever figure out why in the world we have to claim all them people that didn't want to go to church when it comes time to check out. Why couldn't the Methodists and the Presbyterians claim some of them? But anyway, they're always of the Baptist faith. But I got to thinking about this. There's going to come a point in time that we're all going to check out. And everybody wants a point of departure. But I got to thinking about this. There's this particular destination of this right here. This one says it's going to heaven. But the fact of the matter is, there are two places. You can go either to heaven or you can go to hell. The Bible tells us there's a broad road that leads to destruction. And there's many that's going to be on that road. But the Bible talks about straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to life everlasting, and few there be that find it. Can I say, if you're here tonight and you're saved and you found it, you ought to be shouting happy tonight, because you know that your sins are forgiven and that you're saved by the grace of Almighty God. I begin to think about that one day. I went to the post office with this letter. And I walked in, the lady behind the counter, I knew her, and I laid this letter down on the counter, and I looked at her, and I said, I want to ask you a question. And she looked at the letter, and she saw where it was addressed to. I said, as you can tell, this is not anywhere where you can deliver this letter. I said, it's marked for heaven. But I said, if you had the ability to deliver this letter, would it go like it is right here? And she said, no, it wouldn't. And I said, how come? She said, don't have a stamp on it. Don't have anything on it to get it there. I said, so you're saying it would not go because it doesn't have a stamp? She said, no, sir. Somebody has to pay a price for it to be delivered. Amen. Well, I'm glad I can tell you tonight that somebody paid a price that you and I could be delivered tonight. I'm glad that Jesus came from heaven's throne. I'm glad he came down, was born in Bethlehem as a babe in a manger, and he grew up. And I'm glad that he came here for the purpose of going to a hill called Calvary, and there he died on the cross of Calvary for the sins of the whole world. Hallelujah to his name. And that day that he hung his head and died and said, it is finished. Hallelujah. I'm glad, praise God, the price was paid that you can be delivered tonight. I don't have to do it. It's not of my works, but it's all what Jesus did that's going to take me to heaven one day. I said, so you're saying this would go if somebody pays a price for it to be delivered? She said, yes, sir, it would. I brought another letter with me. It's identical to the first letter, and it's got the point of departure from Dyson Grove Baptist Church. It's got the particular destination of 316 John Street, Glory Avenue. But I asked her, I said, now you said that first letter wouldn't go because it didn't have a stamp. I said, do y'all have a 2-cent stamp? She said, we do. I said, could I buy one of those and would you put it on that for me? She said, I sure will. And she put the stamp on there. I said, well, now you said the first one wouldn't go because it didn't have a stamp. But I said, this one has a stamp now. If you could deliver this, would it go? She said, no, sir. That's insufficient postage. I said, well, could you put one of them stickers on there that says return to sender? Wouldn't it be great when you died, if you wasn't ready, they'd send you back and give you a do-over? But the fact of the matter is, we don't get a do-over. You got to know that you know that you know that you've been born again when you leave this world. I thought about that. You say, why did you get a 2-cent stamp? Because everybody in this world today can give you their 2 cents worth on what they think it takes to get to heaven. Oh, everybody say, well, I believe just be a good neighbor, or maybe just a good person. And all of that's wonderful. All of that's fine. Y'all do that. But I'm going to tell you, there's only way you'll ever see God's heaven is you must be born again. You must know Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin if you want to go to heaven. I thought about that. I preached this message at the church, and there was a family that had been visiting, and they a little family didn't know much about them. A young family had 2 smaller children, and I preached this message on a Sunday morning. And that night, on Sunday night, it was about 11 o'clock on my computer, I got a message from this man. And he said, preacher, I can't get away from that message you preached this morning. And said, I was wondering, is there any way I could meet you at the church? I need to talk to you in the morning. I said, that'd be fine. I said, we'll be happy to do that. And I later found out this young man had called his boss at work and told him, said, boss, I'm not going to be able to be in till about lunch today. I've got to go to church before I come to work today. And when he got out of his truck, he pulled up in front of the church that morning. He got out of his truck, he had his work clothes on. And when he got out, he just lifted both hands, and he had tears in his eyes. And he said, preacher, I got the 2-cent stamp. I got the 2-cent stamp. I said, what are you talking about, son? He said, that message you preached yesterday. He said, when I was just little, he said, they said I did something at the church. He said, and they baptized me. Next thing I knew, he said, my mom and dad had trouble. Our home split up. And he said, I got out in the world. Next thing I know, he said, I've been out in the world the last 10 years of my life. And he said, I'm carrying the scars of sin. He said, of alcohol and all those things that I got into. And he said, preacher, when you preached that message, I realized I didn't have what it takes to go to heaven. I had done something as a religious activity, but I didn't know anything about knowing Christ as my Savior. But he threw both hands up in the air. He said, but I'm here today to receive Christ as my Savior. I said, well, hallelujah. I'm glad you can today. And that morning we went in the church and we got down on the altar. That young man got saved by the grace of Almighty God. He said, I don't want the 2-cent stamp. I want to know I've got what it takes to get me there. Hallelujah. I'm glad you know tonight. You see, a lot of folks have got that 2-cent stamp, and it won't even take them to church, let alone take them to heaven. Amen. There's a lot of people, they'll say, well, I remember shaking the preacher's hand, or maybe I signed a card, or maybe somebody talked to me. But the fact of the matter is, if you've ever been born again by the grace of God, friend, you won't have to have nobody tell you. I've heard people say, well, grandma told me I was saved. And grandma may have meant well, but the fact of the matter is, I like that old song they used to sing, I was there when it happened, so I guess I ought to know. Amen. I'm glad the day Jesus saved me, I didn't have to have nobody tell me I was saved. I knew in my heart that I trusted him, and I'm glad ever since that day I've tried to serve him. Amen. I thought about that. That first letter wouldn't go because it didn't have a stamp. This one wouldn't go because it's insufficient. Your good works is not good enough. You say, I'll be a good person. Then you ought to try to be a good person. You ought to try to live right. You ought to try to do right. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. The only way you'll ever go to heaven is have his righteousness imputed to you by grace through faith. Amen. I thought about that. I've got another letter with me tonight. The first letter didn't have a stamp. It wouldn't go because it didn't have a stamp. The second one had a stamp, but it wasn't sufficient postage. This is an identical letter to the first two. It's got the point of departure, Dyson Grove Baptist Church. It's got the particular destination of heaven. But on this one, I already had this stamp at the house, and I already had it on it. I laid it down on the cabinet. I said, now you said the first letter wouldn't go because it didn't have a stamp. You said the second letter wouldn't go because it was insufficient postage. I said, if this was where you could mail this letter, would it go? She said, yes, sir, that's sufficient postage. You know what kind of stamp this is? Forever stamp. Y'all know what the forever stamp is, don't you? Y'all know what the forever stamp is. You buy the forever stamp. You pay the price once, and it doesn't matter what the economy does. It doesn't matter if the dollar is devalued, and it might get to the point that sometime in the future currency would be bottomed out, and the dollar, it'd take you $35 to mail a letter. It won't you if you've got a forever stamp, because once the price is paid, it is good forever. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Praise God, the day that Jesus saved you, he didn't just put you on the installment plan. I'm glad he just didn't give you probation, but I'm glad, praise God, he saved you forever. Hallelujah to his name. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of excited about that. Hallelujah to his name. I'm glad the day I got saved, I didn't understand it all as a 9-year-old boy, but I got something on me that has never left me. Amen. Even though there's been times I veered off the path, the Holy Ghost of God was always there pulling me back to where I needed to be, all because he gave me eternal salvation. Hallelujah to his name. You say, preacher, I said, so you're saying this is sufficient postage? She said, yes, it is. And you're saying this would go like it is right here? She said, yes, sir. I said, I think you're forgetting one thing, aren't you? She looked at me kind of funny. I said, don't y'all have to put a seal on that thing? Isn't there a postmark date that you put on it? She said, yeah, we stamp it. I said, would you mind putting the seal on this one, the postmark date? And the funny thing about that is that every time I read this, it reads the same. that seal, can you see it on there where they stamped it? It says April 1st, 2015. I didn't mean for it to happen like that, but that's April Fool's Day. But I thought about the scripture that said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But I said, she put that seal on there, and I said, now let me ask you this. I said, these letters could not get themselves to the post office. I had to bring them. That's a good lesson to us, folks. There are sinners out there that ain't going to come on their own. They need some of us to bring them. They need some of us to go get them. They need some of us to compel them to come in, because they're not going to come on their own. I said, those letters did not get themselves here to the post office. But I said, now that the stamp is on it and the seal is on it, I said, whose responsibility is it to see that they get where they say they're going? She said, that would be the responsibility of the one who placed the seal on them. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I'm glad I every now and then I run upon somebody. They act like they're helping God save them. They act like they're helping God keep them. Well, the fact of the matter is, I could not save myself and I cannot keep myself. But I'm glad the one that started a good work in me will complete it. Hallelujah. Against that day, I'm glad that, hallelujah to his name, he put something on my life, and one day he's going to take me to heaven. Hallelujah to his name. And it's all about knowing, do you have what it takes to go to heaven? I had a first cousin. He was a little older than me, and our lives hadn't intersected much in life. He was a good fella. He would do anything for you, hardworking, but he was never big on going to church and none of that type of stuff. And hadn't seen him in a long time, and I got word that he had been sick and was in the hospital. He was a little bit older than me, and I thought, well, I need to find out what's going on. When I found out from some of the family, they said he'd been diagnosed with a brain tumor of cancer. And that broke my heart. I told my wife, I said, I need to go see him, because there probably won't be nobody talk to him about the Lord. And I found out that they had sent him home. They had shrunk the tumor with some chemo, and they had sent him home on hospice. And I went to see him. He lived in a little single wide trailer down there. Him and a lady were living together. And I went down there that day. He was in a hospital bed in the living room. He was conscious and everything. And I walked in and I began to talk to him. I said, Dennis, I said, I'm sorry to hear that you're sick. I didn't even know you'd been in the hospital. If I had, I'd come and seen you. He said, well, I've been having kind of a rough time. And he said, but they've helped me somewhat. Those treatments have helped somewhat. And I said, well, I'm glad to hear that. And that day I didn't talk to him about the Lord or anything, but I just looked at him and said, I just want you to know we're praying for you down at the church. And I said, matter of fact, I brought a little money. I didn't know what, maybe you needed some groceries or maybe need to pay the light bill or something like that. And I said, I brought a little money to you. And I could tell that touched him. And he said, well, I appreciate that. I said, I thank you for that. You say, well, preacher, they wasn't doing right. They was living together. I understand that. But love covereth a multitude of sins. That's what the book says. I wasn't condoning what they was doing, but I was just letting them know that I love them just like Jesus did. And I left that day. I said, I'll be back to see about you in a few days. He said, all right, I appreciate that. I waited a few days, and I went back, and he got the feeling good enough till he was sitting out on the front porch, had a little oxygen tank. He was on oxygen, and he was just enjoying the morning sun that morning when I pulled up. I got out, and I just talked to him, and we just made small talk, and about what a beautiful day it was. We sat in there and we talked a little while. Finally, I looked at him. I said, Dennis, I said, I really need to get to why I'm here today. I said, you're my cousin. You're my first cousin. And I want you to know I love you. And I said, but you know what's wrong with you. And I pointed to his head and he said, I know. And I said, and I know what's wrong with you. And I said, I couldn't let you leave this world without me asking you, has there ever been a time that you've been born again by the grace of God? Has there ever been a time that you were saved by the grace of God? He sat there just a minute and he just kind of pondered it in his head. And this is what he said to me. He said, well, when I was little, I remember they baptized me at the church. I said, well, that's good, Dennis. I said, the Bible says we're to follow him in believers' baptism. But I said, do you remember anything else about it other than the fact that they baptized you? He said, no, I don't. I changed the subject and I looked at him and I said, Dennis, I said, you remember your first pocket knife? He grinned real big and he said, yeah, I cut my finger with it the first day I had it. I said, about all of us have had that experience with our first pocket knife. I said, I did the same thing with mine. I said, Dennis, you remember when you got your driver's license? He said, yeah, I failed the test 3 times before I was able to get my license. He said, I didn't think I was ever going to get my license. I failed the test 3 times. And we laughed about that. I said, do you remember your first car? He said, yeah, it was a piece of junk. And he called the name of the car. And I said, yeah, I know it was. Y'all sold it to me. It was my first car, too. And it was a piece of junk. It was a little foreign made. I think maybe Chrysler had something to do with it in Germany. Probably nobody ever heard tell of a car called a Simca. Has anybody ever heard of a Simca? Anybody? The older folks. Know about, all right, it's one of them little square box-like cars. That thing would run fine till you got it 15 minutes up the road. You'd turn it off, and you'd have to let it set an hour before it'd start again. Thing with vapor lock or something. And I'll tell you what, I ended up trading that car for a used riding lawnmower, and I put more miles on the lawnmower than I did the car. And we both sat there, and we laughed about the fact that both of us had owned that old junk car for our first car. We laughed about all that. And we're sitting there just reminiscing. All of a sudden, I looked at him. I said, Dennis, so what you're telling me is this. You can remember your first pocket knife. You remember when you got your driver's license. You remember your first car. But the thing you're staking your eternal destiny on, you can't remember much about it. I said, don't you think it's about time you get something you can remember? And it's like it hit him in the heart. He said, yeah, I guess you're right. I said, Dennis, I didn't come to pressure you today. I didn't come to do anything like that. But I said, I want you to know the Lord will save you today if you want to be. He looked at me and he said, you know, I believe I'd like to do that. And we bowed right there on his porch and he gave his heart to the Lord that day. Got saved by the grace of God. And about 3 months after that, I preached his funeral. I told the family that story. I said, you know, Dennis, 3 months ago, if you'd ask him, said, are you going to heaven when you die? He'd have said, well, I think so. Maybe so. I was baptized as a kid. But I said, when I asked him if he could tell me anything that happened other than being baptized, he couldn't tell me. I said, but I was there the day that he bowed on his porch in his right mind. And he said, you know, I need something. I need something on my life that'll get me there. And he got saved by the grace of Almighty God. Can I say to you today, I don't know what your condition is tonight. I don't know if you have what it takes. You may be like this right here. You may be saying, well, yeah, I'm going to heaven. There's a lot of people tell you, but there's nothing on their life that indicates that they're going to heaven. And it could be some of those, oh, they've got a religious formality in their life. They've done some little religious routine, and they feel like that's sufficient. Matter of fact, I worked with a lady one time. She was a member of a Church of Christ, and I was talking about being saved and knowing that you could know that you were saved. She looked at me. She said, oh, she said, nobody can know if they're saved until they die. I said, ma'am, I don't want to be disrespectful to you, but it's too late to do anything about it then. I said, you better know now. If you're saved, I believe I read in that book right there where it said, these things have I written that you may know that you've passed from death unto life. I don't have to wait till I die to find out if I'm saved. I'm glad God's promises in that blessed book has given me the assurance tonight to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I've been saved by the grace of God. I'm glad you can know that tonight. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you don't have what it takes to go to heaven. Being good enough is not going to get you in. What it's going to take is the blood of Jesus Christ. But I'm glad for all who receive him, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Aren't you glad, praise God, that he's still in the saving business? My question to you tonight is, do you have what it takes to go to heaven? Father, I thank you for what you've done for us tonight. I thank you for how you've helped us tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to hearts here. Lord, only you know who might be here tonight. Lord, that's needing to be saved. And Father, there's some that are here that are saved tonight. Lord, we ought to rejoice in how good you've been to us, in that you gave us eternal salvation. Father, I thank you for what you've done now. Thank you for what you're going to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we ask it.